It's one thing to talk about peace. It's another thing to know him as the Prince of Peace. And when you see what you have on the inside of you, it's hard to compare it to anything in the world. It's hard to. How can you compare this unspeakable or this indescribable gift to the world? You can't compare it to any gift you've got. You can't. And so the joy is in getting to know that gift and unwrap that gift. And the heart is that this season that it's going to take on a new meaning. And I know what God, some of the things that God is doing, there's been a new freedom that's been released, especially in this house, in his people. And this is the way God wants you to walk, in freedom and in peace. Freedom and in peace. There's power in peace. There's power in it. You have something the world wants. They just don't know it yet. And for the believer to be free is God's heart, because he knows that you are the antidote to the world's issue. It's not that Jesus is not sufficient. He is. But who does he use? You. So if you are bound up in your own issues and your own ideologies, it's hard for you to step outside yourself and realize there's someone else who's bigger than you, who came to set you free so that others can be free. This is what the season is about. It's what the season is about. Friday night, we had a good time, and someone told me today that they went home and they decorated their whole house because Friday night inspired them. Okay? So let me just say this. No matter what you say, no matter how upset you get about Christmas, and man, it's just commercialized, there's something about Christmas in the season that speaks like no other time of the year. No, I don't care. You can argue all you want. You can say, no, there's something about it that breaks through all the noise. Peace, it just breaks through all the noise. The gift, the supremacy, the joy of God, the gift of God breaks through all the noise that just causes you to look at things a little bit different. And you realize in this season that he is the reason for the season. There is real peace. There is real joy. You can find real faith even in the midst of trial and hardship and discouragement. There is real joy that is deep down inside. No matter what's going on, that joy is your strength. And that's the thing that carries you. Not people, not gifts, not things. It's the joy. The joy. And if you can get there, you'll start winning. But if you feel yourself slipping and you're looking around everywhere, I can't believe what's happening and I'm discouraged, just think about Jesus. Recount the blessings. Just know who he was and who he is. And think about his goodness and allow the Spirit of God to bring back that joy. And, you know, that's your responsibility. You got to recount the blessings of God. Sometimes it's a matter of you just changing your perspective and looking around and saying, you know what? I am blessed. I can't believe I'm even alive today. I am blessed. I am full of joy. I know that's not working out, but you know what? It is working out, because he's working out something in me that's far greater than I can see now. And that joy is my strength. Man, I got so much joy. There's freedom even in my life when I feel bound. I still have freedom because I know who Jesus is. And even though the enemy tries to come against me one way, he has to scatter seven. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you try to do. It doesn't matter if you try to saddle me with COVID. It doesn't matter if you try to kill me. There's someone inside of me that's greater and says, no, I've got him. It doesn't matter. You got to recount the goodness of God. Let that joy come back up into your life. And that'll break you out of compromise. It'll break you out of bondage and depression. It'll break that stuff. That's what this season is about. Yes. Yes. That's the season. But we don't recognize that. We don't. We still walk around like, yeah, it's cool. Fist bump, air high five. It's cool. But he came to give you joy and have peace. It should be evident in your life. There should be something that's contagious in your life besides sickness. Why do I have to worry being around you if I'm going to catch? We're more worried about catching something than giving something. You're so concerned about, I'm going to get it from here. Really? When you got someone, you got the giver of life inside of you, you ought to be sitting down in front of people in the presence of your enemy saying, what's up? There should be something inside of you that does not back down, and you're not concerned about what you're going to get. How? What if you get it? So what? Who you got? If he's not greater, if he can't buff some of that stuff out and help you rebuke some of that stuff, then he's not who he says he is. I'd rather live in a way, in such a way, that there's someone out there who's greater than I am, who's for me, than to sit back and relax and say, nah, it may not happen, it may not work. I'd rather live like it's gonna work. I'd rather live like he is alive. I'd rather live like it is working than it may not. Call me stupid. I'd rather believe God that he said I can do it than, that's no way to live. I'd rather break out of fear. I'd rather see if I could break out of fear than wonder if I can. I'm just tired of that mentality where it's like, nah, I just can't do it. It's just not for me. Why? If greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, what can you do that you're not doing right now? How do you know you can't if you don't try? I'm waiting on Jesus. No, you're not. No, you're not. Jesus is waiting on you. I understand seasons of waiting when it comes to Lord's doing something in my life. Yeah, but we use that as an excuse to not move. I just can't. He hasn't given me the green light. Well, there is a light. But you got to be moving in that direction. And the great thing about God is he's got multiple colors. He can tell you it can be red, and that means stop. Yellow means proceed with caution. Green means go. Where are you at? It doesn't mean you don't start driving, though. You ever notice that? Lights don't come to you. You drive to the light. And even when the light's there, it says, you should stop on red. Okay, thank you, Lord. I'll stop. You go. We have issues. Yellow means, supposed to mean, slow down, but not speed up like most people do. I think I can get it. You're 150 feet out. I think I can get it. I can get it. And you're, man, and sometimes you got caught in the no man's land. I still think I can get it. It's red. You know it's red. And no, there's no blue lights here. So people are like, well, what about blue? Blue's not even around here, okay? Blue's like up north somewhere, okay? You get like blue lights up there too, all right? Yeah, blue lights, like we in trouble. Yeah. Kmart, right? Yeah. But you got to start driving. And then that'll direct. That's why those signs are there for a reason, to help with the flow of life. And it's the same way with God. Those signs, those stop signs, those checkpoints that he gives you, they're to help you with the flow of life, your life. So if you're tripping over some stuff, see, so what happens with some people is that it's green, but they're scared. Let me give an example, okay? So Mia just started driving. She got her permit. All right, she got her permit. And so this is a very disturbing yet exciting time for everybody in our household, because according to some people, Mia is a great driver, and to other people, there are some things that have to be worked out, especially at night. And so I let her drive from my house to Dollar General. If you know where I'm at, it's literally like I can throw a baseball to there. And so she got out on the road, and immediately when we got out, I was like, you know what? My anxiety level, my level went up so high, and my fight or flight kicked in that I said, we're going to fight this. You cannot, number one, you cannot stop in the middle of the road when you are going out and wonder what to do. There are cars behind you, and there are cars in front of you. You have to go. The problem is that she can drive, but at night is a depth perception issue. You don't understand how far you are from them, and they don't really care where you're at. All you need to know is that when you make a decision, you have to go. You cannot stop in the middle of the road and expect everyone else to go around you going 45 to 50 miles an hour. Put your foot on the gas and go. And we had to work through some of this stuff because we sort of drifting over into other lanes. I'm holding the wheel on in the seat like this. I'm like, girl, put the wheel this way. Turn it this way. Put it on the gas. I'm driving, but sitting like this. Trying to get her to where she needs to go. I got into the parking lot. I'm like, I don't know who told you you could drive. You cannot drive at night. I love you. I love you. She, Daddy, don't yell at me. I love you, but you need time. You need time. And I don't know if it was my presence or what, but I was in the car and it was like, who this? And we got home. I took a Xanax, man. I sat down. I'm like, man, if I smoked, I would have smoked a pack. I was like, man. She went out to a room, and we, you know, connected later. I don't know, hey, what's up? You good? But we need some work. We need some work. You can't get out in life and just stop because you're afraid about what's going to happen. You don't have the luxury. You're not the only one. You're not the only one on the road. You got to make allowances for the people that are behind you and that are in front of you. You have to learn that concept. You can't do that. And what happens with people is that they just stop living. And well, if I just stop and hide, it'll all go away. No, it doesn't do that. It has a reverse effect. People die early because they stop living. They stopped taking risk because they're afraid about what might happen. And they forget that risk is part of life. That you got up, that's risk. You got burnt one time and like you stopped. I don't believe in relationships anymore. One time, you got burnt one time and love doesn't work. One time, bad experience. Talk to the people who have had multiple issues, multiple breakups, been abused, been molested, but still, guess what? Got back up. There's more for me to live. There's more for me to do. In relationships now, trying to make it work, going forward, not letting life sideline them. You got an option. You got a choice. You can either go, you can stay. I'm telling you what, going is better. Jesus came to set you free, to get you moving. The enemy wants you bound and in a tomb cutting yourself. The tomb is empty. The light is inside of you. I understand you might have went past some red lights and got burned. I get it. I understand that there was some caution tape that you crossed. I get it. You learned. That's life. You don't learn by not making mistakes. So I saw a sign the other day. So you know what? You know why I'm so successful? I failed so many times. You know, there are, if you need encouragement, I just want you to look at the amount of people in your life who've gotten back up out of devastation and kept moving again. And say, you know what? I'm hurt, but I'm going to keep moving again. And they didn't let that sideline them for what God had. I want you to think about that. You look back over your life and something happened to you and you never got back up and got moving again. What a travesty. I'm here to help get you moving. That's where I feel part of my mandate is. Get people out and get, you may not like it, but just get them out and get them moving. Just stop licking your wounds. I'm not saying there's not times you got to get in the corner and the trainer has to attend to you. That's just life. But guess what? There's another round. You can't mail it in at 40. Some people do. Well, I'm getting to that age. What age? I'm getting that, just getting that. That's in your head, and that's something the world told you, that at 40 it goes downhill. Hell, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. It doesn't. Guess what? I'm going up. Why? Because I got Jesus, and I got joy. So joy like a river. I'm going up, man. I don't know where you're going. I'll pass you when you go down, but I'm going up. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And so I'm going with Jesus. You go up. You want to go down? You know who to go with. So it's the world's mentality that says, well, you got to start thinking about retirement. I understand all of that. But people start packing it in too early. And they say, well, and they start insulating themselves from life. And they never experience life past a certain point or certain age because in their head they think it's over. And the enemy has them bound thinking that, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. And they're not living. They're dying. They're dying. And she's not even here. My Nana, we'll call her Nana. I want to brag on that woman. She's 8,700 years old. But that woman is still playing golf, still loving life, looking good. We were at Ohio this week. I looked at her. I said, man, you look good. Why? She's got the light on the inside of her. She's living. She's moving. Her husband's not doing great. But guess what? She's living and moving. Why? Because she knows who she is because of who's inside of her. Why not be, she's 83, what's up, how you doing? Cooking dinner, making jokes. Not decrepit. Not wondering, well, what's gonna happen next? Something might happen, maybe a little hard next for her, but she's got joy. I'll take that 83-year-old than the ones I see at the ALFs or the independent living facilities I go into. What's the difference? Jesus. Don't tell me that he doesn't make the difference. Don't tell me that age is a thing. Yeah, you're going to get older. Don't tell me you can't live. Don't tell me you can't have a relationship. She's her second relationship, and man, she's thriving. Don't tell me you can't live again. Don't tell me you can't get up. Don't tell me it's not going to work for you. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he can quicken your body. He can quicken your body. Let's get moving. Come on. That's why the gift is here. Let's get moving. I'm losing weight. Good. She knows she needs to do it. Let's get moving. Then well, I'm going to keep waiting. Keep waiting. See what happens. Their life is just passing by, man. I'm waiting for that moment. Listen, I'm just telling you right now, the moment is here. This year, coming up, the moment is here. The moment is here. You better just make a move and jump back in and let it take you where it's going to take you. And stop wondering about, well, my time's gone. It'll be gone when Jesus said it's time for it to be gone. And until that time, why not take the brakes off and start living? I'm not saying living wild and crazy, but live free at least. I'm not saying you got to go and you got to smoke a pack a day. You got to hot box in your Prius and you got to do all that stuff. I'm not saying you got to go and do all that stuff, but I'm saying you got to get out and live life. And not get caught up in all this other stuff. It does not even matter. I got to worry about, you don't have to worry about half the stuff you're worrying about right now. Why? Because once you get hooked into Jesus, that stuff don't even matter. You walk into places, things change. All of a sudden, the trajectory of your life changes. You walk into places that goes to who Jesus is. You should be bringing the gift. You should be giving the gift. Well, I just feel like my life's not going anywhere. Why? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Sometimes you have those meetings with Jesus. Why am I feeling this way? Well, this is what's happening. All right, I got to do something different. If you are not living in that place with Jesus where there's freedom and joy, I'm not talking about absent of trial or difficulty. That's not life. But there has to be some sort of freedom and joy if you're going to survive. I mean, you got to have some sort of pleasure. If you're going to survive, Jesus is not into like taking away everything you got. Listen, I need you on a fast for the next 365. No food, no water. I just want you to look at me. 365, it's just going to mean keep your eye wherever I go. Just look at me for 365. Jesus is not into busting you up so you dying early because you're not eating and you're not drinking. He is not into like killing everything about who. If that's the kind of God we serve, I don't want that kind of God. He's into you having some freedom and joy. And that means even as the year flips and you do some things for God, there's some freedom and joy in that stuff. It's not like I'm trying to kill your fun. He wants you to enjoy life. He's not saying I want you to sin and enjoy the sin. I want you to enjoy life. There'll be plenty of time for you to resist sin this year. Don't worry. It's coming. But in the middle of it, there should be something that overrides that. If he really is the gift giver. All right, let's talk about the wise men. We're supposed to talk about them today. Come on. People are like, well, where's the message of Christmas? Okay. Again, here we go. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. Why? Because he wanted to kill him. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. When Herod called for a private meeting, or then he did, with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. They didn't have watches back then, you remember. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Verse 11, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. It was time. It was time. First thing I want to point out about the story is that they came from afar. This wasn't convenient. Coming to Jesus is not convenient. They came from where they were. They had to travel to go see him. And I want you to think about your life and what he took you from and brought you to. And what that process looked like for you. For some of you, he was looking at you and wanting you for years before you even came to him. But it was at an appointed time where he finally broke through and said, now it's time for you to put your trust in me, that you said, yeah, I'm going to do it. But they came from afar. And this is what the world is missing. They're looking for a convenient Jesus. They're looking for a Jesus that just is going to allow them to do whatever they want, whenever they want. And still live the life they quote unquote want to live. And the reality of it is this, is that no Jesus, no life. But we bought into this lie today where it's about pleasure and it's about finding out who I am and about finding my purpose apart from Jesus. And you cannot do that. It's impossible. It cannot do it. If this is the gift that keeps on giving and this is the gift that he promised the world, doesn't it make sense for you to start to unwrap the gift and find out what is this all about? Isn't there something inside of you that's curious as to the value of this gift? You know how it is during Christmas time. A lot of people get wrapped up in all like the wrapping. My grandma was like fanatical about wrapping gifts. It was like almost insane how she would wrap gifts. And it got to the point where it was like, I just looked at the gift and like, man, I want to look at the wrapping paper. I didn't care about the gift because the wrap, sometimes that was better than the gift. Okay. So the wrapping paper was so good. Yeah, his appliances for four, okay? And so you're in there, and you would open the gift up, and it would be what it would be. But she was fanatical about that and the way it was. And in hindsight, it wasn't about the wrapping. Because you can have a jacked-up wrapping job, hence what I do at times, but the gift inside is what really matters. And what happens is that people look at their life, and they look at who Jesus is, and they look at all the elements of their life. And it's not perfect. And they're wondering, well, Jesus, maybe he's not in this. And the reality of it is that Jesus is into imperfection. Some of the gifts that I've gotten over the years of my life didn't come the way I wanted them to come, but they came at the right time. Jesus came at the right time. He didn't come like the world wanted him to come. He wasn't right. He didn't come in on a horse. He didn't come in on a camel. He didn't come in like parading who he was. He came in like a baby. For these wise men to recognize that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as an infant. Was crazy. For them to recognize as they bowed down before him, kingship as an infant. When was the last time you saw someone bowing down before an infant? This infant could not really talk. This infant really could not do the things that an adult could do, but they recognized who he was and bowed down before the King of Kings. I recognize your supremacy. I recognize you are the gift. I recognize you are the Lord of Lords. Here's my gold, my frankincense. It doesn't pale in comparison to who you are. You're the gift, but what I have, I give you. To a baby. The second thing I want to talk about is this, is that they brought their own gifts. These are the gifts that were specific to them that they wanted to give him. This wasn't about who do I need to pacify? Who? No, no, this was about this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to give my best. As a baby. We got trouble giving our best to a grown up Jesus. How do they recognize supremacy as an infant and the world can't recognize him now? Many things would, I'm not going to say go away in your life, but also you'll get victory quicker in your life if you learn to just submit down. Not to the baby. Not to Mary, by the way, either. But to the King. And as you submit to the King and you resist the enemy, guess what? Hopefully, you'll be able to start walking again. But what we're trying to do in the world is that we're trying to resist. We're trying to win at life, right? But you're not submitted to nothing. Yeah. Well, yeah, I am. I'm going to live my life and I'm going to make it work out the way it's supposed to work out. It's not working out. Why? You're not submitted to the King. So until you can get to the point of where you're submitted to the King, things will not work out. I don't care how much you try to do. I don't care how much you try to like sugarcoat it or try to make it work out for you. It's not going to work until you submit to the King. I don't agree with the King. I didn't say agree with the King. I said submit to the King. Isn't that what the cross was all about? He submitted to his Father's will and said, not my will, but your will be done. I don't agree with this method, but I love you. Who do you love more? I guess a better question would be, who do you love more, yourself or God? Though I just can't give that. Why? Well, it's too important to me. So we have a placement issue now. We've got misplaced adoration. So we're adoring things in our life as opposed to adoring the King. And when you start adoring those things, things get flipped. Then you start creating different ideologies and you start creating different baby forms, different identities, because you flipped it. You start worshiping the King, everything starts to line up right. Well, the word's not working. Who are you submitted to? It's not working for me. It should be working. If it's not, then we're not submitted. So it's too much of us in the way then. It's too much of us. So we're worshiping my will, my way, what I can do, rather than submit to the King. So when I submit to the King and I say, okay, I'm going to submit under your authority, guess what? He can raise me up in due time. He'll raise me up. But if I'm going to do it my way, God said, well, we're going to continue to get the same stuff. Returns at Christmas times are always a joy. People are always returning gifts. And a lot of times they're swapping out stuff. I don't really like this though. So what they do, they get the gift receipt and they come in and they get what they really want, you know, for Christmas. Hey, I've been in, I don't want to say much, but I've been in Christmas exchanges. Hey, you got the receipt for that? As they were saying, I liked it. I fake smiled the whole way, but do you have a receipt for that? Because I'm going to exchange that without telling you later on, because I really didn't like what I got. People do that all the time. And it's just the way it is, because we get so enamored with the gifts and we get so intent about, well, I hope they like this gift. And we get constipated. Like, I hope they like it. Oh my God, I hope they like it. And when they don't like it, we're devastated for Christmas. Get over that stuff. Listen, here's a gift card, man. What are you like, Carrabba's? Go get your own food. We get so like bent up. I'm not saying don't get personal, but at times, let's be general enough so that our expectations are managed at Christmas. Because it's not about the gifts, it's about the family. It's about getting together, honoring the gift giver. If it doesn't go well on Christmas, it's not Jesus' fault. It's not Jesus' fault. Let's keep the right perspective. They brought their own gift. Can you imagine if we did that? Oh my God, I'm changing it up. Christmas is now, you bring your own gifts that you like. And we all bring them together and we open them all at Christmas. This way, no one's disappointed. Why? I went to the store, I got my own stuff at Christmas. I got them all. I am so excited. I'm so excited about this, what I'm going to show you right now. I've seen all my gifts. I've seen all of them. And we all just have it's a Christmas potluck gift party. We got eggnog in the back, candy canes, all that stuff. We got the food, and we all just sit down, and disappointment would be lifted if we all just started opening our own gifts. Oh, my God, I remember this one I saw. It was good. All of a sudden, here it is, and we're excited about it. And people, they do theirs. They're excited about it. Everyone just is joyful because they bought what they wanted. Instead of having to go through the motions of Christmas and be angry but smile the whole Christmas day because I don't like what you gave me and I don't really like you. Why am I here? Bring your own gifts, and it would help people stop drinking through the holidays. Just to get through what they're, and they know, you all know what I'm talking about. You know when the holidays flip, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I got to get ready. I got to brace myself because I know I'm going to see him. I know it. I know I'm going to see him. You all start bracing yourself. You're starting, you had a great year until November. And they're like, oh crap, here it is, Lord. I got to see him again. And we know it's not going to be good. You're going to have to grunt through the holidays. And you're like, man, and all of a sudden, you got to just pray. You pray hard. November, December, your spiritual level is high. It's high. You're just trying to get through the holidays. You ever hear people say that? I'm just trying to get through. Why? They're trying to get through. Why? Because they don't like half the people they're with. And they don't like the gifts they get. Am I making sense? It's just the way it is. It is. And you're doing everything you can just to grin and bear it. How long is this dinner? You're trying to like time it out. 1 to 4, I can do 1 to 4. I'll just make a couple bathroom trips. I'll go outside. I'll get on my phone a little bit. You know, I'll text some people, even though it's Christmas. I'll do some stuff. And then, oh my God, where'd the time go? We got to go. And you go home, you're like, and you can breathe. Make sense? We do it. Some of y'all, all y'all inside, you're like, man, I do that, but don't say it. I do that. But what I do is I go into the bathroom and actually open the cabinet and see what's in there. And then I shut it because I want to stay in there real long. You okay in there? Yeah, I'm good. You flush the toilet like 5 times? Yeah. Okay. Y'all do that. That's life, man. Bring your own gifts. Wise men brought their own gifts. What are you bringing to Jesus? The best thing you can bring to him is your surrendered life. And really, he just wants one gift, Eric. One gift. One gift. Surrender. That's it. Well, what else? No, that's it. That's it. I'm surrendering to your lordship. You're the king. I'm not. You are. And once we do that, what happens is our life begins to change. And holidays take on a different meaning. The seasons take on a different meaning. And it's not about what you get and what you don't get. You already have the king. You're already walking with him. It doesn't matter how the family gathering goes or how it doesn't go. You just know you're walking in with the king. And instead of expecting to receive something, you came to give. And when you come in to give, the whole atmosphere changes. That's what gets me is that we get around this holiday season. It's about give me something. Why don't you get your butt in there and start serving and give? Okay, give. Well, what are we doing? Why don't you help cook the dinner? Get in there. Come in. You coming into somebody's house? How you doing? Everything good? How can I help you? Instead of sitting down, you got any water? From the other room, just waiting for people to tell you what to do. Why don't you just do something? It's about giving. Give. And your whole season will change. You will look back and say, man, that was a great season, wasn't it? It wasn't about you. That's why. You put other people before you, and if Jesus came to serve and he was given us, you're like, man, let me try that. And you do that, all of a sudden it changes, and you walk around with joy and peace because it's not about you, it's about Jesus, and you realize, oh, I've been missing this. And this is some of the problem we have with Christians today. Everyone just wants to receive. Just give me something. Give me a word. Give me what I need. Instead of coming in and say, hey, what can I do? Well, change the mentality. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? What are you giving? What are you bringing to something? You know, some people, when they go to parties, they bring nothing. You might know some people like that. Going to a party, you're supposed to bring something. That's like appropriate, right? Bring something. You're coming to the house and bringing something. What do you do when you come to God's house? What are you bringing? The nominal Christian, the fringe Christian, brings themselves to receive. And they sit back and wait for the service to start. They wait to see what's happening, if they like it or not. They go through the motions. Well, back home. And that's all their Sunday is about. That's what their worship is about. They go in, they go out. It's a ritual. It's an hour and 10, hour and 15, wherever church you go to. And that's what it is for them during the week. It becomes something they do systematically every week. It's religion, but it's not freedom. Christianity would change if you say, what can I give? What can I give? Rather than, what can I get? Because I'm telling you, once you change that, guess what? All those other things. I don't want to go too much into January, but all those other things start happening. Man, come on up. Church was never meant to be a place where you get stuck. People get stuck doing the same thing, going to the same place, receiving, never changing. That mentality has to change. You're supposed to go out into all the world. Preach the gospel. Come in, fine. But then you're supposed to go out. That's why it's not comfortable being here. Because you can't come up, sit up in here for 45 minutes, and now it's just good. Because half the time it's not good and comfortable. I'm glad I came to church. I feel great. Really? That's just not what church is about. You're supposed to be moved to action. What are you giving? And so the Bible says we bring the sacrifice of praise unto the, we bring it to the house of the Lord. Man, I hope it's good today. How do you know it's good? If you don't come in with the right attitude, if you're mad when you come to church,
I hope it's good. Well, they didn't say what I'm just upset. Your attitude blew it for you. You should have got with the Lord at 6 and 7, early in the morning, got that right, then came to church, even though you might be crying, and get it right and say, oh man, it was good to be in God's house today. Why? You got out of you and you gave yourself to Jesus. You gave yourself. The worship team gives themselves to Jesus. They don't receive. They give themselves. What can I give to Jesus? And it's about, what do we do corporately as a body today to give to Jesus? And Jesus looks down and smiles and say, ah, they're getting it. Because you know what? I didn't have to prop them up today. They came in ready to go. They came. And that's what happens in churches. It's 11:30 at churches all over the world. And people are just now getting ready to receive. It took them an hour to get past all the stuff in their head. Now they're like ready to go. It's over. The same cycle starts next week. Let's all stand to our feet. Before we get into the new year, what are you bringing to Jesus? He's already given you himself. More wisdom for you. He's got more understanding for you. He's got more power for you. He has all that for you. All of it. Yes. The more you give yourself to him, the more you'll walk in that. The more it becomes about you, the less you will have. But when you get out of yourself and put yourself, quote, out there and risk, things change because your faith now has a chance to see things actually move. Your faith is what God is looking for. Your faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Why? Because we must come to him, Sharon, and first believe that what he is. He is, and that he also is a rewarder of them that diligently, not sometimes, diligently seeks him. Guess what? God said, keep doing it. Keep doing it. And the more you walk into me, the more of me you're going to have, and the more of me you'll walk in. That's how it works. The less you hold and the less you give me, the less I can allow you to walk in, because you're not really surrendered. And you know what that looks like for you. You know how it is when you're not really in. You can tell. As the year flips, my prayer is you're going to get more yourself. It's going to be less about you this year. And we'll talk more about this in January. But more about Jesus and what he's asking you to give, and it's going to be more of yourself. It's got to be something else. No, it's going to be more of you, not less. He requires more. He's the king. Lord, for every person in this room, everyone who's been given, Lord, everyone who's been receiving, it's okay. As we give more to you, God, we know that we receive more back from you, because that's our relationship that we have. Strengthen them in this walk. Lord, as they continue to put you first, as they continue to seek you first, God, make ways for them. Make ways, just ways, plural. It's not going to become about them, but it's going to become about you. Lord, as they lay on the altar, and as they present their bodies, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, that's a reasonable act. I pray that they're going to see breakthrough in their lives. The things that they've been stuck and hung up on are going to be broken off their life. Because as they get moving, and God, as they start walking in faith, you're going to break stuff off them. God, the things they've been looking for, the answers they've been looking for, they're just going to come like this. Because as they continue to walk with you and lean not on their own understanding and in all their ways acknowledge you, you said you would direct their paths. In Jesus' name, amen.